You are listening to Danny on What the Heck Podcast. This is the place where I share my experience, knowledge, and skills. Hello, welcome along. I have a new guest, which I don't know too well. The first time I've actually had a video meeting together, but I've introduced her as Wendy Johnson.
Johnson, yeah.
Kind of. Yes. Welcome along, and whereabouts are you based?
I am in Washington State.
Excellent. So I'm Danny and I'm in New Zealand. So I've introduced our guests. So what we do, if you aren't familiar with my podcast, is I have 12 questions I ask my visitors and we get straight into it before we find out who they are and what they do. So my first question on the card that even I don't know what it is, what's one thing you'll never do again?
That's really easy. I will never be a Jehovah's Witness again.
Brilliant. That's one I should have asked nearer the end, but that's going to be an interesting story coming out.
Yeah.
Well answered. I'm going to pick another question. That's question number one, 11 questions to go. Right. What three items would you take with you on a desert island?
A desert island. Oh, that's interesting. We'll say clean water. My crystals.
Ooh.
And something to make a fire.
Fire that you can cook. Can't eat your crystals though, but you might
be able to. I know, right? Like, need water and fire.
That's good. These questions are totally random, so myself don't even know what's coming up really next. Let's see. Oh, okay, what is your favorite family holiday? It might be one you've had. Probably not much holidaying going on at the moment, unfortunately, but what's one that comes to mind?
Thanksgiving. I have a big family Thanksgiving where we just all come together and my kids really, really love it. It's just really a fun time for us.
So because I'm in New Zealand, we have Christmas and we don't have Thanksgivings, but I'm assuming Thanksgiving's a little bit before Christmas.
It's November. Yeah, the end of November, the last Thursday in November.
And is there any, where's that originate from?
Thanksgiving, you know, for my family, it really doesn't have the traditional meaning to it. It's really just a time that we all come together and we have a big turkey feast. Right. I cook a turkey and a ham and we all just come together and we all get in a group and talk about what we're thankful for within the last year and the things that happened for us. So for my family, that's what Thanksgiving is.
Well, I remember when I was in America, I was there at Halloween. We have Halloween here in New Zealand, but we don't all dress up and get into it. This was 20 years ago, and I couldn't believe that the whole city was dressed up. It wasn't Flagstaff, actually, just near the Grand Canyon. And everyone gets into it. So I presume Thanksgiving's similar. Everyone does it.
Yeah, everyone does it.
Yeah, not so much here. We just do Christmas. Right. If you could eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be? So you can only eat one more thing for the rest of your life. What's it going to be?
Oh, what would it be?
I can tell you what it won't be. Manna.
Right. That's good. That's for sure.
Jehovah's Witness thing, that one. But yeah,
you know, my husband and I like to go out to a Mexican restaurant, so it would probably be something like nachos that he likes to order, that we order together, just because it's a good memory.
Yeah, we had nachos for dinner last night, ironically. Yeah, so that's cool. Not too complicated, that one. Okay, so if you had a superpower, what one would you like to have in your profession?
Oh, what one would I like to have that I don't already have?
Yeah, have an additional.
See the future.
See the future. I would name that one. I would have guessed that one. See the future. Okay, so here's a funny one, especially senior American. No pun intended. But if you ruled the world, what's one thing you would change on day one?
Oh my goodness. What would I change? I don't even know. You know, I don't know how to do it, but just bring in more love somehow.
Yeah, That's fair. I'll let you know. We're going through the questions. That's good. Do you collect anything? Do you have any hobbies? And I bet you're going to say crystals.
I do collect crystals.
Yeah.
Some really beautiful ones.
Do you have favorite ones? Like, I've seen people with those big rocks. Is that crystals?
Yes. I have a great big, huge amethyst. Like 50 pounds.
Wow.
So yes, I do collect them. So yes, that would probably be my collection. Yes.
So when I knew a guy that actually used to collect crystals, and he was moving home, and he said that was the biggest, because he had these massive rocks, he had tons of them. He said that was his biggest dilemma when he was moving, is how he's going to move his crystal and rock collection.
Yeah, that would be very difficult. Yeah. That's some really big ones too.
Hmm. So if money was not an object, what would you do all day long?
Oh, play with my grandkids.
Do you have any favorite games?
Favorite games. You know, favorite games. My granddaughter right now is really into hide and seek, and we hide her stuffed animals. It's kind of silly. We hide her stuffed animals and she plays hide and seek with them. So I don't have to hide, but I have to hide her toys.
Fair enough. Right. All right. I don't know if you read, but have you got a favorite author?
Abraham Hicks books. I don't read a lot, but I've read a lot of those.
Abraham
Hicks. It's Law of Attraction. I don't think I have the author right. Jerry and Esther Hicks.
Okay. All right. And why?
You know, I've just learned a lot of healing ways of helping other people heal through their books.
Right.
I'm a life coach, and it's helped me help other people a lot, as well as myself, because you got to start with yourself first.
Yeah. Because I often say to people, and they don't believe me, but I say I've never read a book in my life because I'm dyslexic, you see. And I can read the words, but they just don't get in. And recently I've been about 5 years ago, I started listening to audiobooks.
Yes.
And now I see when people would go to a movie and they would come out and they say, oh, I think the book was better. I could never understand that. And the first book I ever listened to was actually from the guy from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I think it was Anthony Kiedis. And it was his autobiography or whatever they call it. And it was amazing. And I thought, oh, I can see what people like reading though. So, yeah, so reading a book and getting fulfillment from it for me would do my head in. But now listening to them, I can see why people like reading.
And I have listened to the audio and use it as a guide, actually, because I'm a lot like you. I'm not really big into reading books, but I do like audio books because I don't have to read the same sentence 10 times.
Yeah.
Or to just like think it.
Yeah, it's quite cool. I actually had one of the books I started listening to when I first got into it. I actually interviewed him about 4 podcasts ago, and it was brilliant. And he's actually all about being brilliant, but it was quite nice to actually get the author of the book that I'd listened to about 4 times to come on and actually ask him a question. But what I found funny was he's got 6 Amazon top sellers.
Wow.
And people gave him 1-star reviews. And the book he had was Brian Michael Hempel. Anyway, he was reading out the 1-star reviews he got and thanking the people for them. But his book was called Flip It. And it was talking about every negative opportunity to turn it around to a positive. And I remember seeing him on LinkedIn reading out his 1-star reviews. And this made me laugh because it was exactly what the book was all about. He was putting it into practice.
That's awesome, actually.
Different story. But anyway, okay, that's good. Favorite author. What's your proudest accomplishment? And you're not allowed to say children, because I've had people use that one before.
Well, could it have to do with my children? I think my proudest accomplishment is that I raised them outside of the religion I was raised in, and they've become amazing people.
Not many people would probably appreciate how hard that is, so well done. I do. It's quite good. We'll have a chat about that soon. Okay, so obviously COVID's affected us quite dramatically in 2020. I'm a big traveler myself, been to about 35 countries, and I just got back from visiting China, Bangladesh, and India about this time last year. So the question to you is, where in the world would you travel to next? I don't know if you're a big traveler.
Not really, actually. But the place I've always wanted to go is, and only based off of pictures I've seen, Costa Rica, and see some of the waterfalls they have there.
Yeah, it does have a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. And this one's a bit of a business one. What was your first job? And it's our last question.
My first job was caring for an elderly lady that was 90 years old, and I was 12.
Wow. Cool. How'd that go?
I had made all her meals and made her bed and cleaned her house for her every weekend.
Right. Oh, well
So, and
done.
I just sat with her and was her friend.
Well, thank you for answering the questions. Hopefully that gives people a little bit of an opportunity to get to know you and maybe me. Wendy, tell us why we're connected. We're hanging around Facebook at the moment on a couple of Facebook groups, and I caught you there chatting, so I asked you to come along onto my podcast. So tell us what you've been doing and maybe let people know our background and how come we've got a common interest.
Well, our common interest would be the Empowered Ex Jehovah's Witness group, I believe. We are 7,000 members strong now as of the last
Wow.
few days. I was member number two. We've held cruises. That was really a big blast. And they've done some other really amazing seminars that they've held, and they plan to hold some more in the future. I am a certified life coach, hypnotherapist. I'm also a Reiki master. I do energy healing. If you want to find me, you can find me at wendyjohnsonslifecoaching.com. I offer a program there for, it's called Transformational Reprogramming for Ex-Jehovah's Witnesses that want to move past all their fears and all of, find new friends. Because when you leave there all alone, and you really don't have anybody, nobody's holding your hand. And it's a really hard place to be. So you have to start from the bottom. It's like just being reborn. So
Totally right.
finding new, making new dreams, even learning how to move forward in dreaming is a big deal for them, and
Yeah.
looking for a life ahead.
Because I've been looking at a lot of the newbies coming onto the Facebook group, and it actually blows me away what stage they're at. And it is kind of like judging where they're at and how. And the big question that I've had two people in my life actually commit suicide, in my family. So my sister, who was 2 years older than me, but my stepfather, when I was nine, he was only in our life for a couple of years, but he suffered with depression. But in the organization, when he died, they didn't want anything to do with him because they felt that if you took your own life back then, it was a sin and you had no respect for life. So then that affected my sister. And when she got to about 14, 15, she went way off the tracks and got into drugs and the whole nine yards and eventually took her own life, unfortunately. But the thing is, I see a lot of people who get kicked out of the organization have nowhere to turn. And unfortunately, a lot of them, there's so many stories of these people actually taking their own lives, but then there's no accountability from the organization because I've cast them out of the organization. And I can see, how this is how much it impacts people's lives. So when you provide a platform, people go on there, and some of the comments you're going, oh my goodness, these people need help immediately.
Yes,
And that's
a
where
lot of them really do. And I know Rodney offers a program within that group too that people can take, and it's amazing. I actually took it, and I refer people to it often, and to Rodney Allgood.
Yeah, because when I was first disfellowshipped, I remember going back to the hall, and I used to sit at the back of the congregation of the hall, and every single meeting I'd just be crying all the way through it. Now, if people who know me, I'm quite a strong-minded person. I'm very driven, high energy, extrovert, if you want. And there I am, bawling my eyes out like a baby. And after 4 months, they must have felt like I were repentant or whatever it was, and they reinstated me. And that was the shortest time I'd ever heard at that time of anyone going back into it. And then 12 months later, I stuffed up and got kicked out. But by that time, I'd actually built a network of friends actually around me. And that was my saving grace in a way, because but finding friends when you've been told before we got on air that everyone in the world is an enemy and untrustworthy and they're all going to die, it's very hard going out to the world and actually building those friendships. So you've had to do that yourself.
Yes.
What sort of techniques did you find?
You know, I had young kids and I chose to get them involved in sports, which was a hard decision in itself because I wasn't sure I wasn't totally damaging them there because you're warned so heavily to not do that, which gave me an in with a lot of the parents. And I found myself getting really involved in their school activities. I was my son's, he had a booster program for fundraising for band. And I became the president of their booster program so that I could help them do fundraisers. And I met a lot of people that way. And I'm a lot of amazing people. And that really helped open my eyes that all these people that they call worldly weren't horrible people. There was a lot of really amazing people out there that really wanted to help other people and other kids and make sure all of the kids got to participate in all the programs that were available that, you know, you had to pitch in a little bit of funds to be able to do it. And that really, really opened my eyes. And I built a lot of friendships that way. And I continue today. I like to do different types of fundraising and get involved in different areas and plan to continue doing all that.
Yeah. I went through a divorce at 40 and then I was quite lonely. And I think loneliness is a real big thing. Mm-hmm. So then I started, I got onto dating sites and the first thing you do is you think, oh, I'm going to find somebody else and that's going to give me what's missing in my life, but that doesn't really work. Then I noticed that on the dating site, they had an area where you could do events. So I started organizing like a mountain biking event. But then every Saturday morning, we'd get like six people coming along, six guys, no girls, and we'd go out biking and then we'd sit there and natter after a cup of coffee. And then I met this lady and I said, oh, why don't you come along and have a cup of, come for a walk and meet and join us for a cup of coffee afterwards. And she goes, oh, like by myself. And I said, well, you can take my dog. So then I changed the event to a mountain biking and a dog walking event. And ironically, 10 people turned up, ladies with dogs, and they liked a walking group. So then I said, well, why don't you come back and have a potluck dinner at my place tonight? Who's doing anything? And then all of them said, oh, no, I've got nothing on. And then we finished up building up a social group with 500 people in it.
Nice.
And we took them hiking, biking. We'd go out for dinners, everything you could think of. And I just ran anything from 5 to 6 events a week. But in the meantime, my loneliness went away because I was focusing on helping other people's loneliness.
Yes, that was really key for me. When I first left, the loneliness really took over. I found myself pregnant out of wedlock. And then when I gave birth to my son, he only lived 13 days. Then I had to go through all of that, you know, alone with my 3 kids. And so when I finally got to a place where I felt like I needed to reach out, I needed to make friends, I needed to learn how to heal myself. And that's when I started doing some of the fundraising and getting all involved in that. And I started, I took some life coaching courses to heal myself, to get through all of that. And in the meantime, my sister passed, that was a Jehovah's Witness as well. Yeah. So that was an interesting process in itself as well. So yeah, it really can be very lonely in the beginning. And if you don't have somebody to help you even feel like there maybe is hope, it can be very detrimental.
I think one thing I've, like my partner said, why do people believe it? Like I say to people, I'm an ex Jehovah's Witness. Normally, if they have no knowledge of it, they go, oh, and what do they believe in? It's a little bit of a debate about doctrine. And I go, I'm not one anymore. I don't believe that stuff anymore. Right. But they go, why did you believe it? And you go, well, I couldn't get away from it. Because if you do have any beliefs and you want to believe in there's a creator and there's a purpose, when you leave the Jehovah's Witness faith, you can't just jump ship and go to another faith. So now you just have to say, well, there's no purpose in life. There's no God, maybe. There's no greater force, whatever it is. You start whole new beliefs, and then you've got no friends around you. It's not that easy just stopping everything and starting fresh at the age of 20 or 23, wherever it was.
I was 30, 32, maybe.
Yeah.
When I finally left. I came and went a few times. I was just fellowshipped a few times and in the process. Right. And then at 32, I think I left and I have not looked back. And I've helped other people. And yeah, it's definitely a hard path to follow, but it's definitely worth it.
What advice would you give somebody? I was speaking on Zoom to a young fellow the other day, and excuse me, I can't remember the phrase, but is it PIMO? And they say they're emotionally out, but physically in. What's that phrase?
Do you know something that? Like what you just said.
Yeah, and I've been seeing this thing. Like, what's
POM, physically out, mentally in. POMI.
Right. And I thought, what do you, and I said to them, well, what is that? And they said, oh, I still got, my family's all in it. And I'm out of it emotionally, but I still go along to all the meetings.
Yeah.
And this guy I was speaking to, he got baptized at 15. And I'm going, but then, you know, because this is the thing, they hold your family around you, you know, and you know, you're going to lose your family, don't communicate with them, and you're isolated. And this is what makes you go back and serve God, who's a God of love. So confusing.
It is very confusing. When I left, my father is an elder, which is along the same lines as a preacher, as you would know.
Yeah.
And my mother and my sisters and brothers were all part of it. So when I chose to leave, I left with me and my three children. That was it.
Yeah.
The rest of the people in the world that I knew were all Jehovah's Witnesses. All my friends growing up in high school. I really wasn't allowed to have friends outside of high school because I was an elder's daughter. I had to set the example. I became a regular pioneer. So I did the door-to-door thing for 90 hours a month for years. I quit high school to be a Jehovah's Witness and to set that example that my father wanted me to set, which, you know, became, you know, it could have really hindered me in life. I got really lucky and I opened my own business just before I chose to leave, and I ran an in-home childcare. I was licensed for 12 kids for 23 years.
Oh, wow.
And I was able to sustain my lifestyle with my three kids and raise them that way. So I got really lucky because I wasn't educated. Mm. And then when I did leave, I chose to be certified in many different modalities to help other people heal.
Yeah. Funny that, because I left school at 14 and a lot of people go, 14? I go, yeah, well, I turned 15 over the school holidays, so technically I left at 14, but uneducated. And I think the amount of window cleaners, commercial cleaners, carpet cleaners, I was a painter and a decorator for 10 years. you know, those sort of jobs that you can stop and start on a rainy day, because I was only an auxiliary pioneer, so 60 hours a month, 90 is pure dedication. It used to be 100 at one stage, and it's gone back to 90, didn't it?
I think so. I'm really not up on what they do now.
Yeah, that's good.
But in
you
the day,
didn't have a job. The idea was a proper education was frowned on. If you went to university, you were obviously building a life for yourself in the world. And everything is going to, like right now, the Jehovah's Witness organization must be thinking, oh, we'll tell everyone the end is near, because even COVID must be like, oh, it's another sign of pestilences. And, you know, and I remember back in 1970s, I think it was, that people were selling their houses and putting everything on the line to preach because the world was going to come to a sudden end. And now we're 50 years later.
Yeah. Girlfriend and I were talking about that this morning, how people were in the 70s were charging up all their credit cards.
Yeah.
Because the end was here. They had an actual date set where the world was going to end as Jehovah's Witness, and you know, the new system would be here and it would be a paradise and everything would be great.
And
that didn't happen.
If if you were going to give some advice to somebody who was watching this and they were sort of saying, well, I don't know whether I should leave the Jehovah's Witness, or the other question would be is, I don't know how to get started, or I don't know how to deal with my loneliness. What have you got, a band-aid that you put on straight away?
You know, if you're asking the question, you definitely have reasons that you're asking it. So I would go with my gut instincts. Most often your gut is right. And do some research. Feel free to contact me. I would be happy to have a conversation with you.
Yeah, no, please do. When I finish this, I actually scribe it all into text, and when your name's mentioned, click on the name and it will take you through to your website. So we do that as well, because, you know, my motive here is really to actually help people get on with it. Because one thing I'm really happy about is I have got a life, and I've traveled like 30 countries, which we wouldn't do as a Jehovah's Witness. You wouldn't travel, you know, and also I've been in business, you know, and I enjoy business, and it's okay to make money, because, you know, you can go after what's the root of all evilness, or as King Solomon would say, what was his saying? Something about having his reward in full now, or whatever it was, you know, striving after money, or right, all those sort of things you just weren't allowed to do as a Jehovah's Witness as such.
And so, he was the root of all evil.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you go from the Jehovah's Witness belief to worldly living, there's a bridge that some people just really struggle with. And I remember seeing a post just yesterday, and somebody said, I'm giving up, I'm going back to the Jehovah's Witnesses. And everyone's writing, you go, what are you doing? Don't do that, you know, don't give up. And it was just a wee joke of his, this guy. And I thought, thank goodness for that. They actually messaged me privately to say, I'm just joking. And I said, yeah, but that's something you don't want to see, because it's such a hard thing to get away from.
It's triggering for those who have had really traumatic experiences. And a lot of them have had really, really traumatic experiences being a Jehovah's Witness. There's a lot of real deep trauma that happens. And there's a lot of pedophilia and things that have been come forth in the last years. So
it's been brilliant. I know in Australia, I think they had over 1,000 cases. I think they'll go back to 1953, which might seem a long time ago. But they've had, I think, 1,000 cases of people who have been fiddled with by the elders, and they've had complaints, and they've never, ever gone to the authorities about it. They've handled it within the congregation. And then I think you had the statue, something changed in America where people could go back historic, because after 8 years, people couldn't go back and complain about something that has happened. So that these kids have been grown up, been fiddled with, couldn't say anything, but they changed it so they could. And then COVID came.
I can't say that was an experience I had, but I was in meetings where I was asked some very graphic questions and made to talk about things that were totally inappropriate in front of older men.
I've had
those kind of experiences, but I can't say that I had some of those other types of experiences, but I have friends that have.
It's the same, because I got kicked out for doing naughty things of the opposite sex. And they wanted to know the whole details of what I did. And I'm going, this is probably my first and my second time I've ever done it, and you want me to explain what we actually did?
Well, I was just alone with somebody, and they're asking me, and I had never been involved with anybody before, so I didn't even know what the questions meant they were asking.
Yeah.
So I was told I was lying. I'm like, no, I'm not lying. I don't know anything.
Yeah, that's crazy. I haven't really been outspoken until the last few months than anything. I did a podcast about a year and a half ago about my life, just briefly. But now I've got onto a lot more of these Facebook groups, such as yours, and I'm reading other people's stories. It's just 85% the same stuff going on, and it just seems like I don't know if you've noticed. I know the Jehovah's Witness organization hasn't grown in numbers for the first time in years. And I'm just wondering if a lot of this activity and people speaking out about it is actually harming the organization's growth. I know with COVID and having to go onto Zoom, a lot of them are selling their kingdom halls. And I'm wondering if this is actually a turning point where the Jehovah's Witnesses will feel that the people of the world are turning on them. Do you think things are changing, or is it just going to carry on, you reckon?
I don't know. That's a really good question. Because I think it's going to go a little bit of both ways. You're going to have those that start going, oh, wait, why, you know, paying attention to the questions that are being brought up. And then you're going to have those, because they're told to by them, that are rejecting and not listening, because they're told not to listen to anything from the outside. They're told not to look up. You know, if I was to go to my father today and say, hey, look, I have all these facts, and lay them out on the table as to what's going on, he would fold up the paper and say, take this home. I'm not looking at it.
Yeah.
Even he wouldn't even give it the time of day, because they're told that that is coming from Satan.
Mm.
So, right.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be a little bit of both. You're going to have those who are curious enough and maybe a little have a little bit more of a rebellious spirit that can see or been in long enough to see how many times they've said, oh, this is the end. That go, wait a minute, they've said this before.
Yeah.
Maybe I should pay attention and look. I think you're going to have a lot of combination of both. But I do think it's really important for there to be people out there that are available to help the ones that do decide to look at it and see how brainwashed they have been.
Yeah, because you just don't see it. It's like when people knocking at the Jehovah's Witnesses may knock on our door and somebody says, oh, I just slammed the door in their face and I call them names, I yell at them and I go, it doesn't make any difference. Because I used to have that happen to me. And I said, and because I was there doing God's work, it wasn't directed at me, it was directed at God. So
yeah.
They have an answer for everything. And when I look at the, you know, how interwound it is, that you can do anything to a Jehovah's Witness and that would be like, if you tortured them, they would think that's all part of God's approval.
Yeah.
And they'll get resurrected if they die, you know,
right.
Or, you know, if you're,
there's just
so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah. Well, sure. Thank you for coming along. I think people can sense that you will be willing to talk to anyone that's going through a difficult leaving the Jehovah's Witness organization.
Yes, or any type of religious organization,
yeah.
Really. You know, there are ways of helping anyone that's leaving any type of organized anything that needs help moving forward.
Somebody who's been brainwashed. Nice to find a way of wiping that slate clean, and because life is pretty cool. I mean, I feel like I wasted 23 years of my life getting it started.
I wasted 30, but the best thing is, you know, I've learned to move forward in a positive way and let go of all the negative things that you really could hang on to, the anger and the fear and all the things that the guilt, oh my goodness, some of the guilt that they put on you. Mm. So when you learn to deal with that and leave it behind you, because it's not going to serve you going forward, that's where the beauty comes in.
Mm. No, I agree. Well, thank you for coming along, and I'll stop the recording if anyone else listened to this. And if you go through the notes on below, you'll see a link to Wendy's website, and also where we talk about the Facebook group, I'll also put a link through to that. So be willing to join it. You asked a couple of basic questions, but there's a really nice community of people there that really sincerely care about you, and they can answer those little questions or those big heavy questions. And so you were number two on that Facebook group. That's pretty cool.
I was, and it's now 7,000.
Yeah, and that's really impressive. Let's hopefully when people watch this, they'll see more than 7,000.
Yeah.